Well, if you're already counting down the days to the weekend, there's always going to be 5 days ahead of you. But what if the traditional work week wasn't always 5 days? What if it was shortened a bit? That's exactly the goal laid out in a new bill that would shrink the standard work week from 40 hours down to just 32. And for more on that, I want to bring on the congressman behind that push, California Representative Mark Takano joins us right now. And Congressman, thanks for coming on to chat. I mean, I don't think you're going to get a lot of pushback from anybody watching the show, certainly none of us here, to make the work week 4 days permanently. But there are a few economic think tanks out there that are supporting this push. So talk to me about what the main problems are you're looking to solve with it.
Well, the main problem I'm trying to solve with it is the work-life balance. I think that is what resonates with so many people who during this pandemic experienced neighbors, family members, loved ones dying. They also experience being able to work from home. Not everyone, of course, but a lot of people work from home, and they experience that flexibility of hours and the ability to actually be with family. And in the midst of everyone, in the midst of 600,000 plus of their fellow countrymen dying or getting seriously ill, time became just as much of a precious thing as money. So there is a new openness, I think, or an openness that wasn't existent before the pandemic for rethinking what should be the norm around our work week.
When you talk about those who've been able to work remotely, though, through the pandemic, in many ways, we have seen this big divide between those who can work from home, who can have the flexibility. And then you've got the hourly workers who've really had to go in physically in on the job, working sometimes even more hours during the pandemic. How would this specifically address that part? Because there are concerns that if you cut it down to a 4 day work week, what that means for their pay.
Well, Akiko, my bill specifically would amend the Fair Labor Standards Act so that people could earn overtime beginning after the 32nd hour of work in a week, just as now it begins after 40 hours a week. Now, nothing in my bill says that employers have to cut hours. They can, of course, cut hours now, even under the current work week. And many employers intentionally keep employees on part-time work for a number of reasons. But in those skilled areas, those skilled hourly workers, I'm gonna make a big claim that many, many, many employers are gonna find it really difficult in a short and tight labor market to say, oh, don't come in that fifth day because they don't wanna pay those workers time and a half overtime. This bill is really about defining when overtime starts, but it also has a way, it also in a big way, starts this conversation for our hourly workers about a shorter work week, and it positions them better. It gives them more leverage in a tight labor market to begin discussions about raising the hourly rate for the 4 days that they are working straight time. So look, it is about social equity, my legislation. It equalizes, I think, or at least brings to the fore a conversation that's mainly been happening in the exempt space among those non-hourly workers.
Yeah, and I mean, when we talk about it too, maybe it's not surprising, given all those things, to see support coming from one of the largest labor unions, AFL-CIO, throwing their support behind an idea like this, since it would kind of do what you're describing there. But on the other side, the Economic Policy Institute also supporting it. And when you dig into that, I wonder how much it might have to do with just kind of wage stagnation, wages not rising the way that we saw, how big of a piece that element is really what this bill is trying to fix?
It's a huge piece. And of course, it was discontent with workers whose wages have largely remained stagnant over the decades in which productivity has gone up. And yes, that productivity can be attributed also to technology. But that's sort of a so what? So what? It was attributed mainly to technology. The fact is, American workers are far more productive for whatever reason. All of the benefits have gone to capital, not to labor. And look, we face the greatest challenge to unite our country to unite ourselves in many ways, including economically. There's a big economic divide. We need to shore up our social safety net, and we need to shore up a new way, a new norm that leverages more of the economy toward our workers so that they can consume enough. After all, we are a consumer-based economy. This a four-day work week is going to open up a whole new range of possibilities, and I predict it's going to be for a stronger, more vibrant economy, more productive economy.
Congressman, let's talk about what's playing out in your home state. We are roughly 2 weeks out from this recall election of Governor Gavin Newsom. The latest polls we've seen show a really tight race for a state that is overwhelmingly Democratic. What do you think happened? I mean, why do you think the race is so tight in a state that has, almost consistently leaned blue, when you've got a candidate like Larry Elder on the other side? I mean, explain to me what you're seeing in the dynamics with 2 weeks left to go until the recall election.
I'm seeing an election that is showing up at a time when few people expect an election or even know there's an election taking place. And the people who typically turn out and vote for Democratic candidates and who've rejected extreme Trumpism, extreme Republican ideology, and irresponsible libertarian nonsense that Larry Elder spouts out there, most of those voters are working hard. They often need to be communicated with very intensively. And so when a pollster calls them up, they often may not know there's an election. They may not know what the stakes are. And so the likely voters, the so-called likely universe of voters, of course, is going to show that the race is tight, because when they ask you the question, are you likely to vote on September 14th? I think it's September 14th. I don't even know exactly what date election is. They're likely to say, well, I don't know, or I didn't know there's an election going on or whatever. And so that's an explanation, a very, very, I think, likely explanation for the tightening of the polls. It does not reflect the universe of all registered voters who overwhelmingly oppose the idea of Governor Newsom being turned out of office by an extreme ideologue who's irresponsible, who'd be an irresponsible executive in the face of the challenge of a pandemic.
Well, there's another interesting curve here, too, in regards to the pandemic that might also put some pressure on maybe which ways voters are swinging. And that comes down to the proposal being discussed around implementing kind of the vaccine mandates that we've seen in San Francisco and New York City at a state level in California. And that's an interesting question, Congressman, when it comes to whether or not that would help really drive more people to get vaccinated. It seems to be working well in the cities that have implemented it, but it would kind of maybe throw a wrench into what, I don't know, it could be a positive, could be a negative, but where do you fall on that issue in regards to what it could mean for California?
Well, I'll tell you where it falls on for me. I rolled up my sleeve, actually took off my shirt and got vaccinated, my second vaccination the day after January 6th, on January 7th at the United States Capitol. I put it on my social media. I've communicated consistently that getting a vaccine is the most important thing that any American and anybody can do to help crush this virus. Anybody saying otherwise is being irresponsible. The fact that the virus can replicate because there are so many unvaccinated people who are vulnerable to this, especially this Delta variant. I believe employers have a right to mandate it, to put as a condition of employment, to charge their employees more for testing if they don't get it. People really need to be coming to the face to face with the rationality and the logic and the science behind these vaccines. And overwhelmingly, I'm not afraid of the state taking a more assertive role, because I think most Californians are going to get vaccinated. Most Californians are starting to get fed up with those who are not. We still need to be respectful and patient, but it's now, I think, time to turn up the incentives for people to get vaccinated.
So you do think it would be good for a state level there? I got you down in the check column for the state level.
I do think that the state should take more, the state and private employers. That's what's going to get our economy really back to normal. Not back to normal, back to better. It's a big drag on the economy to have all this uncertainty around the spread of more and more variants.
Yeah, and we've seen that play out in different states.
Vaccine is the best antidote to that.
Absolutely. And we've seen that play out in different states here in terms of how the recovery has been going, relative to vaccination levels as well. So very interesting to see some of these ideas coming to the forefront here. But Congressman Mark Takano, appreciate you coming on here from the great state of California to chat with us today. Be well, sir.